this Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast for Elite Pool Covers, saving you water today for tomorrow.
How would you like to go to sleep and wake up in 100 years?
It'd be interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have missed a fair bit.
There's a company by the name of Alcor. Alcor, A-L-C-O-R. They call themselves Life Extension. It's a life extension company.
Okay.
And basically, the story is that humans could live forever, inverted commas, as this firm offers immortality, inverted commas, freezing you for as little as $660 a year.
Okay. Not a new idea.
Something that's been, well, I mean, if the conspiracy theories are anything to go by, Walt Disney's frozen somewhere.
Yes.
You know? So my question to you is, if the technology was available, right? Say, for example, I don't know, you got struck down with some sort of illness. They couldn't cure you now. But somebody came to you and said, hey, we can freeze you for $660 a year. And then in 100 years, we'll probably have this nailed. We'll be fine. We'll be able to cure you. Would you take the shot?
I mean, to be fair, that's what I spend on Netflix. So, I mean, you know.
No way, no day.
Why?
This is the creepiest thing since the last creepiest thing. I hate cryogenics. I reckon it's a terrifying idea. I used to date a dude years ago who thought this was a great idea, and I think it might have been the demise of our relationship. It was so creepy.
What? Okay, so but
he was very cold-hearted.
What are you doing? What do you want to do with a body? Like, what are you going to do? You've got to come back. They've got to build you a whole new body because you don't want to come back in the body that you're dealing with. Like, what if you get to 80?
Yes.
And then you go, yeah, freeze me. I don't want to come back in 100 years in this decrepit body that doesn't work properly anymore. But you want a whole new one.
Okay, but that's a different perspective. Sure. I reckon when you're in your 80s and you've led your life and you're kind of like, you know what? I'm done anyway. Whatever. Right? But what if? What if you, as Kimber, right now, had the opportunity to do so, right, knowing that whatever it was that ailed you, they could cure you in 100 years? No. Say, for example, it was like, you know what, you're in 6 months, off you go.
She's had her day, mate. We've all got to we've all got to come to terms with impermanence.
Yes.
Nothing is permanent, and we love and we lose and we, you know, it's tough. Life is tough like that. Death is tough, but like, Kimber's had her day when she's had her day. You don't get another version. You don't get her back. It's just, that's it.
And how depressing would it be to wake up in 100 years' time, turn on the radio and hear three people like us going, and how are those petrol prices?
Hey, 184 patients they've got so far.
Really?
It's like over $200,000. Spend your money and live your life.
To turn you into a Slurpee.
He got his break in stand-up comedy right here in Perth, and these days hangs out in our lounge rooms on shows like The Masked Singer and Hughesy, We Have a Problem.
I am pumped up.
He's also part of the Mix 94.5 family, on air each weekday from 6 p.m. Please welcome Dave Hughes.
Hi, Hughesy.
What's happening, legends?
Oh, not a lot, mate. A bit of a rainy day in Perth. How's things where you are?
Yeah, they're good, but it's raining COVID where I am, so you know.
That sounds unpleasant.
COVID at school, so then kids at home. So,
oh, really?
You know,
is it back to that?
Yeah, it's back and forth. We played COVID lotto at our school. I've got three kids, and five different classes in the school have had COVID, and three of those classes have been classes my kids have been in.
Great.
So, I'm not saying that I'm the common denominator. But we've been tested about 4 million times.
It makes it hard. I mean, there's a lot of rules, isn't there? Because you're still having to stay home and isolate, but everything's opened up and everyone's got their freedoms back. It almost doesn't make sense.
Well, yeah, so the contacts don't have to, but they're like, they have to stay home. But then, I don't know, the rules change every single day. But then the rapid test is only 97% accurate, apparently, and that's not good enough. So then you've got to go and join the drive-through COVID testing centre. So, if you got 97% on a test at high school, you'd be pretty happy, wouldn't you?
You would, yes. Yes.
that's an A-plus in my book, right? So, I reckon that should be enough. But anyway, we're all doing the right thing, so.
Oh, man. I mean, God, we just don't understand here what you guys have been going through. We see the anger on the streets and it's kind of like, is that in the same country?
Mm. Well, yeah, exactly. So, no, it's all good. Can you just open the border so we can bring it to you?
Yes.
We can show you if you open the border.
We are one, but we are many. Come on.
Always good to catch up with you, mate. All the best over there, eh?
Good on you, legend.
Thanks, buddy.
Christmas is coming.
Guys, I need some help with something.
Uh-huh.
I've got something going on in my finger.
Oh.
And I don't, like, it's really painful. It's painful in the way that it feels like there's something stuck inside the skin. Maybe a splinter, maybe a bit of glass, and I can't see anything. Like, I've been investigating and I've been, like, my partner and I both have pulled it up, like, gone like that, tried to, you know, if you put pressure on the skin, you can see, but I can't work out what it is, and I don't know how long do I wait, because the pain is quite full on.
Mm.
How long do you wait for this pain before you start going, maybe this is arthritis and I need to see someone? Because I can't tell. Like, if you can't see the actual splinter, if you can't see anything in there, how do you know if it's like an internal pain?
I'd wait till you were developing a really high fever. And at that point, you probably think, okay, I probably need a bit of Dettol.
I can't, like, have a look at this, Pete. Have a look
Which finger? Show me your finger.
My index finger in here.
On really, your right hand.
You. Right. Why'd you go to Pete first?
Because, well, like, he knows,
okay,
right?
Let's have a look.
Can you see anything in there? It's like in there.
I can't see a thing, but here's what I'm going to do, right? Because I myself, look at my finger on my left hand. I've definitely got a splinter, which I got from putting the lights up on the roof.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just going to run my finger up and down your finger and just tell me if you can feel anything as I pass over the top of the skin. Can you?
No.
No. Okay. Now I'm just going to push down a little bit. Now can you?
No, it's in here.
Right. Okay.
I feel like I'm watching a magic show.
Is that so? I pass over the top, but so how deep is it?
I don't know. But how deep is your love?
Great question, Maddie. Yeah. Great question. Why would it be glass?
I don't know.
Because you mentioned glass. Why would it be glass?
I don't know why it would be a splinter, but there's just this excessive pain in my finger, and I'm guessing it's a splinter. How do you know?
How do you know? Well, I know that the human body is an amazing thing.
It is.
And when I got my splinter, instead of trying to dig it out, because I got it about a week ago, I said, I'm just going to let the body just push it out. And it has. This morning, I could pull a little piece of it out.
It's like growing a flower.
When I was a kid, you never wanted to say anything like that, like, I've got a splinter, because my Polish grandmother, my babcia, the next thing you'd see her walking towards you with a needle and a match.
Oh, yeah.
To disinfect them and start digging around in there.
Didn't you say your brother had a splinter?
Yeah, he had like a good centimetre piece of wood in his head.
How?
He was doing his job and he fell over and he landed in someone's garden and went, "Oh, that hurt." And he came over to my place and he said, "Can you have a look?" And I went, "Oh, there's something hard. I think it's the scab. I think it's just healing over." And he went, "Okay." He went, no, that's not right. Went to the doctor and they pulled out a good centimetre of wood.
Almy splinter.
Where'd you cop the splinter?
I love that Matt was like, why'd you go to Pete? And then tells a story about Carl had a 1 centimetre or more splinter in his head. And you were like, I think it's just the scab.
Don't you bring that finger anywhere near me. You made your choice and you live. You made your bed, girl.
Hey, Mike.
How am I, splinter?
What'd you have, mate?
I was in TAFE doing carpentry, and I actually went to mock another student's work and kind of went to point at it and go, look at that. And as I did, I brushed my finger up the edge of the timber, and the splinter went down underneath my nail. And it was all the way down to the base of the nail. You could see it. You could see it through there. It was so sore.
That's karma, baby.
My lecturer wanted to pull it out, and I was like, no, I'm doing it. I'm pulling it out. I was not letting anybody else touch it.
Wow. Did you get it out, or is that the kind of thing you just wait for the entire nail bed to just fall off?
No, the nail remained on, but I pulled it out. I just about managed to get a pair of pliers on the end of it where it was poking out the end of the nail there and pulled it out. It was like a proper wood chip.
I'm having a weird cold reaction to that.
It was Jara as well, so it stank so bad.
At least you're using a lovely native wood, Mike. If you're going to get a splinter under the nail.
It's because you know the feeling, don't you?
Yeah.
You just know the feeling. It hurts.
I do.
Kim in Stratton, good morning.
Good morning, Almy Splinter.
What happened?
My brother whipped me in the back of the leg with a tree branch.
Oh.
And about 3 months later, there was no blood or anything. About 3 months later, I got this scabby type thing on the back of my leg, my calf muscle, and I pulled it out, and it was a 3-inch-long bougainvillea spine.
Oh, wow.
See, the human body's a wonderful thing.
It's incredible.
The bougainvillea, too. Like, they are really spiky. I'm so surprised you didn't feel that going in.
The sting of the stick whipping me on my leg was more than, I guess, the thorn going into my
legs.
Kim.
Thanks, bro.
Hey, Cassie in Wanborough, what happened with your son?
Army Splinter. Well, it's my son. He actually used to cycle at the velodrome and he came off, and they'd actually steamed the floor a little bit too much. So when he actually came off, when he landed, he ended up with a side full of splinters and spent 3 hours in the hospital with two nurses getting all the splinters out.
Oh.
Now, this is fascinating, Cassie, because when I was watching the Olympics earlier this year, I heard the commentators talking about the velodrome and the fact that if you come off, it's not just the fact you come off at speed, but you're likely to cop a heap of splinters as well.
How? Isn't that meant to be varnished and lovely?
That's what I thought.
Yes. As I say, it was someone had actually steamed the floor a little bit too much and warped some of the boards.
Okay.
So that's why he got, they ended up fixing the floor a little while afterwards.
There you go.
Things you learn. I mean, that's a little tip I didn't know we were picking up today.
Mm.
Didn't know anything about.
Don't steam your velodrome too much. Yeah.
Pete, Matt and
Kimber. Someone who's, probably as famous as you can get is this lady. She's not a pianist.
It's a big build-up, wasn't it?
Huge build-up. Go easy on her, will you?
She deserves a build-up. There ain't no
gold. What a voice.
Adele.
That's Adele. And the song is Go Easy on Me, and that's from her album 30. And, of course, it's huge news. It's come out quite recently. And Channel 7 were able to broker a deal with Adele's people it was like $1 million to get the Oprah interview.
Mm-hmm.
The concert.
Yes.
And to have one of the journalists speak to Adele.
Yeah.
And then it's like the decision they had to make is, well, which journalist, who do we send to meet Adele?
It's only right we should ask Australia's biggest Adele fan, Matt Doran.
I am a monstrous fan, yes. Kylie, and this album follows other numerically titled albums. Her debut was 19, then came 21, and then 25, all reflecting the age she was when Adele wrote them.
He's got the knowledge, right?
He knows a thing or two.
Damn straight. He didn't just read that off Wikipedia like I would. He actually knows something. Turns out that despite, getting the gig to fly to London, the 14-hour or 20-hour business flight to get to London to meet with Adele, he didn't bother to listen to the album. And everyone's jumping in on him today. And the news came out that Adele asked him, have you listened to the album? And he's gone, no, and she stormed out. There's some conjecture whether that's true or not.
Right.
But certainly the record company aren't happy. And they've sort of blocked the interview at the moment. But we've been there, right? And we're asking this morning, when have you been unprepared? It's like, when have you not done your homework?
And it's a tough one because we know we've had that situation as announcers. They've been like, you've got to interview this person and you've got to do all your own prep.
Yes.
And we've got great producers. It'll also go, hi, I know this. I heard this. And we pull together some information.
Yes.
But when you haven't actually done the prep at all, like I feel like that for a few job interviews I've gone to, I haven't been prepared. And they'll be like, so tell us what you know about the company. And you realise you've done nothing.
No.
You've done nothing. You haven't even looked up. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, they're a trucking company. They do trucks. But I don't know anything further because I wasn't planning on climbing the career ladder in the trucking industry.
And Pete, I've told this story before. As an actor, I got a gig on The Man from Snowy River.
Oh,
and
wow.
I said I could ride a horse.
Yeah.
And I got there and clearly couldn't. And it's The Man from Snowy River. Right? You kind of need – it's really, the actors are superfluous. It's about the horses.
I really wanted to see them cut to you. And you're just like, you've become the guy who's just like wiping the horse's foot. Like now you're just like cleaning off their horseshoe.
I should have been. I should have been punished for that. When were you completely unprepared? And Matt, you know, we feel for you, brother. It's not easy. You've been caught out.
Jason in Naranda, tell us what happened with you.
So I bought a well-known trampoline for the kids for Christmas, mm-hmm. and I had the building manifesto. I had all the parts. I knew that. But I could not find the instructions to build it for the life of me. Mm-hmm. So 4 hours into it, I'm sitting there with a phone, YouTubing how to build this thing. Now, trampoline should be pretty straightforward. The suspension weight thing they have, I eventually got it. And there's a guy who said on the YouTube, goes, with instructions, takes you 4 hours. With instructions.
Yeah, I've heard this a lot. I've heard that people who wait a little too long to build the trampoline end up having to call in the reinforcements of neighbours and friends.
Really?
Late at night, yeah.
Okay.
It's a big job.
Well, they're quite dangerous in their own way, aren't they, tramps? Yeah.
I've built a trampoline. We've built a trampoline for the kids. But, like, there's a lot more you have to build for a trampoline these days. It's not like when we were growing up where you literally just had a flat springing thing and that was it.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean, because they can't hurt themselves now. They've got that much safety equipment on them. Tramps aren't as dangerous as they were.
Mark in Gosnells, good morning, mate. When were you unprepared? Good.
I've had a little mishap. I failed a medical to go to the mines.
Oh, how'd you do that?
I was 101 kilo and I should only be about 75.
Mm-hmm.
I had a knee operation, two knees replaced, so I couldn't bend down. I just had the jab, the AstraZeneca jab. I felt like crap.
Mm.
And I could only do 3 press ups.
So were you. I didn't know. They actually make you do that, do they? They say to you, you've got to drop down and give us 20.
Oh, mate, I tell you what, I was sweating. I had a pair of jeans on. I should have gone in shorts and thongs. Had a jersey on. But I felt really bad because of the jab the day before.
Yeah.
And I felt even worse because my mate got the job and I didn't.
Oh. You going for a job on the mines or auditioning for SAS Australia?
Also, I'm going to use that now and be like, oh, I can't do 3 push-ups because I just had my jab.
Sorry.
Oh.
Now, of course, we share a lot with each other about what's happening in our lives, and some of it's very, you know, big and personal, the loss of a parent, whatever it might be. But there are some things that we keep to ourselves, or certainly I do, and it's the stuff that I'm a little bit embarrassed about.
Oh.
And one of those things, because I just thought it was me living a middle-class nightmare, was when we had Florence, the Dalmatian, to begin with, and we had to put her in doggy daycare quite a few days a week where we would kid ourselves that we were doing it to socialise her because that's really important,
mm-hmm.
But actually it was because we couldn't handle her. So we've handballed her over to doggy daycare, which was great, but, you know, I didn't need to be spending that money anyway. But that was why.
Yeah.
We just needed some respite, right?
All right.
And I was thinking, like, the other night, someone came up to us and said, oh, I know your dog from doggy daycare. And we had this whole conversation. And we've now gone and organised a bloody play date.
The things we do for
dogs.
The things we do for
dogs. It is insanity what we do for it. I mean, I grew up at a time where dogs were lucky to come inside the house.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they were considered very loved. Have some old scungy blankets undercover under the patio, mm-hmm. out the back. That was where the dog lived.
Yeah.
Florence has a better life than I do, without a shadow of a doubt.
Oh, yeah. I knew that. Anytime that my dogs were sleeping on sheepskin rugs, I was like, what have I done? Like, how did we get to this?
Yeah.
Because you used to just sleep on the grass out the back.
Yeah.
And it was not a problem. But we move our entire schedule around the dogs. Like, if I've got somewhere later that I need to be and I know that he's going to be home on his own or whatever, I'll, like, call my friend and be like, can I bring him with me? Is it okay if I take my dog? Like, we arrange our lives around him, for sure.
We're going to do a bloody play date for the dog.
Play dates are great, though. I love a good dog play date. I mean, it depends if you like the human or not.
Yeah.
You've still got to get on with the human.
I have, having 3 kids, I've seen some things. I dare not bring up on the air. And I, you know, spent a lot of time in the family fish business cutting and gutting fish. I've seen some disgusting things. But when you see your dog doing its backside wipe around the lawn,
yes,
and then stick its bum up and see that there's something hanging out of said backside.
Yes.
Yeah.
You go in with a glove.
Yeah. Yeah.
The things you do for dogs.
The things you do for dogs.
Those old anal glands, you got to sort them out.
Oh, don't. Don't. I've been obsessed with that ever since I heard someone mention it.
I know. I think it's funny that you're obsessed of all the words to use too. Tell us what you're doing for your dog. You're just going above and beyond organising play dates and things.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lyndon's in Balcatta. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys going?
Good. What do you do for your dog?
I throw him a birthday party every single year. He gets a humongous amount of presents on a Christmas day. Mm-hmm. And he also gets to sleep in my bed. He gets home-cooked meals. He doesn't eat dog food. And he also has his own bed, but he prefers to sleep in mine.
Okay, so breaking it down. So he gets a birthday party every year. Does he have friends that come over to that?
Yeah, doggy friends, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Does he get a cake?
Oh, yes, get him a cake, yeah.
I mean, of course he gets cake. Lyndon's saying he doesn't even eat dog food.
No, he doesn't.
During the week, Lyndon's making special meals.
What are you making? He's going out for degustation.
Degustation. What are you making, Lyndon?
Well, he just gets, like, some meat. He gets, it's all cooked, cracked carrots, peas. Core, whatever he wants, he gets.
You know, your standard full meat and vegetable meal, Pete.
I can't wait to rock up to Nobu one day and just look at the table next to us and there's you and Lyndon.
He's a very small boy.
Oh, good on you. Thanks, Lyndon.
Well, thank you, bro, guys.
Have a lovely day.
To be fair, we did poach chicken for Florence recently. Because the tummy was a little bit upset.
Ahoy there, mateys!
Mix 94.5 Masters Regatta.
Looking like it's going to be a beautiful day. We'll be down there from 10, broadcasting live. 10 teams face off to bring back this incredible event that Perth hasn't seen for over 15 years. The SS Salsiche will glide across the water.
I hope that's what happens.
It will. Have faith, guys.
I do.
Have faith.
Won't it be the best if it actually works and the boat is success? I mean, Colin just laughed. You might not have heard that.
Colin just laughed.
Colin laughed at that.
Thanks for your faith.
And you will
Colin.
Laugh when you see it.
No, I'm sure it'll be a beauty.
Colin, welcome, mate. You are part of Team Vid Kids Jenny, but you are Mix 94.5 Masters Regatta royalty, sir.
Pete, I think you're exaggerating a little bit. It's been a long time since the race has been held. It was fantastic in the days that it was. I was lucky enough to go in it for about 10, 11 years, paddling with my daughters and some nieces, nephews, friends, cousins. It was great times. Used to attract some fantastic crowds down there. And some of the creative boats that went in it were just unbelievable. Had to be seen to believe. So I just really hope the effort you guys have put into it really can somehow get the race re-established for a whole generation of people that haven't had the luck that I had to be in it and to see it. It was fantastic times.
Oh, well, beautiful. We're certainly hoping for that on Saturday. That's our plan, to get Perth back together and everyone down there. With so much success under your belt, what's the secret to a good boat?
A lot of people built creative boats and, you know, the work they put in was just unbelievable. I just tended to build basic boats that went fast. I like to call them speed boats.
Speed boats.
Could you water ski on the back of one of yours?
Do you want me to bring the ski rope and the water ski for you guys?
Yeah. I'm happy if ours just floats. That's all. I don't ask much.
And Cole, you paint the picture there beautifully, because I think there's not enough silliness left in the world. And I think that, you know, the creativity that allows people to bring, and also just a bit of fun, like, we don't have to take this seriously. We're just going to have some fun, get everyone together and enjoy this beautiful city, right?
That's right, Matt. Yeah, look, when the race was held, some boats just didn't. You could tell right from the start they weren't going to make it the 50 metres to the finish line.
That's how we're
But they had fun. And the crowds along the shoreline at the Hillary's Marina down there, they just loved it. They loved the fast boats. They loved the creative boats. They loved the boats that didn't get past the start
exactly,
line.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, some didn't get past the start line. Some broke halfway. So it was a lot of fun for families and everyone that was able to be part of it for about those 15, 16 years it was held. And it'd just be fantastic if somehow it could come back on as an annual event. If not annual, maybe every 4 years, make it
like the Olympics.
The Olympics. That's what I was thinking.
You've got to qualify.
Brisbane. know.
The way you're thinking, Brisbane. Colin. I love it. You've got grand visions. It's blue sky thinking. It's fantastic.
Well, every Olympics are allowed to bring in a new event, so why not milk carton boat racing for Brisbane in, 2032?
Now, Colin, you are underselling yourself because you won. You won the Open Race Championship back in the day. What was the prize for winning a regatta way back when?
Oh, I think it was about $400 first prize, second was like $200.
Oh, gee, we've upped the ante then, haven't we?
Yeah, we have a little bit, yeah.
Well, it's inflation, hey?
Yeah. Yikes.
$5,000 but, on offer but, this
but
Saturday.
It wasn't all about the money. It was about being the master of the masters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many people have you got on your boat this year?
Probably. I was hoping to go with my grandchildren, but unfortunately the rule said they've got to be 10 years or over, and my six grandkids are all under about 8. So it'll just be me and my daughter. We'll be paddling. When I say my daughter, she's gone, she's a mother of my three of my six grandchildren.
Okay.
How cool. How cool, right. You raced when you were younger and now here you are, you're going to be out on the open water racing with your daughter. We're talking generational here.
Well, that's part of the reason I'm hoping it'll come back so I can paddle and enjoy doing the race with my, any number of my six grandchildren.
Once they get a bit older.
In the old days, you could go in it when you were about 5, 6 years of age, but obviously insurance has changed that, and this year the rules are 10 years and over. If the rules hadn't
getting in the way again.
OH and SM or whatever it is, occupational health and safety. Duty of care. In all seriousness, I am hoping that if the race it becomes an annual event, I will be paddling with my granddaughters.
Great.
I've got 2 granddaughters and 4 grandsons, so I'm hoping one day all 6 will be on the boat.
Beautiful. Brilliant.
Colin, you're a gem, mate. Yeah. Looking forward to seeing you and the family down at Hillary's on Saturday. VidKids Jenny is the team name. Thank you very much for joining us and good luck for the race.
Thanks, Pete. Look, I'm hoping to be the second person into the Milk Carton Hall of Fame after you, because if this race gets resurrected, Pete, you'll be the inaugural member in the Hall of Fame.
That's the goal. That is the goal, guys. This is how I achieve legendary status.
Yeah, the man, the myth, the legend. That's right. That's right.
You're a good man. Pete, Matt, and
Kimber. To hear Pete, Matt, and Kimber for longer, listen to another one of their podcasts. And to swim warmer for longer, get an elite pool cover. Mix 94.5.